meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. Today is February 13th. It is 6:04 p.m. Ms. Gonzalez, can you call the meeting to order?
I would like to call the meeting to order for our regular board meeting. It is February the 13th, 2020. The time is 6:04 p.m.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. We're here at MSA 4. And as a reminder, all of our meetings are recorded. Please state your name before speaking, as we do have remote access for the public. With that, I'm going to go ahead and record attendance of our board members. Rabbi Belia. Dr. Yapanow. Ms. Gonzalez.
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias.
Here.
Mr. Orzov.
Yeah.
Dr. Dickbush. Mr. Galdia.
Here.
Thank you. So we have our quorum here in person. Okay, next we have our Pledge of Allegiance. If everyone can please rise. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready? Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If we have a proof of the agenda, I can have a motion to approve the agenda as presented. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Galdia. I'll take votes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Galdia?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we have our public comments or general comments. We do not have any public speaker forms, so we will go ahead and continue on to the next item. Next, we have communications from our board and superintendent. Mr. Guacama, do you have anything to present?
Good evening, board members. At this moment, just wanted to report that we do have our symposium on March 6th, led by our chief academic officer. So as always, we will provide that information. So those of you that could attend, please do so. Our full day professional development with all staff, which ranges from 300 to 350. And this time around, we're going to have it at our new campus at MSA 1. So it'll be the first time that we're utilizing the rooftop at MSA 1 with all 300 staff. So it should be a very lively day. So we welcome all of you to come, since that is less than 3 weeks. Yes. So that's all for now.
Thank you, Mr. Guadalajara. Next, we have item 1, G through J. These are all of the minutes that require approval. First one is from December 4th ad hoc committee. Then we have January 3rd, both regular board meeting and ad hoc committee. And lastly, February 4th ad hoc committee. One of our board members can make a motion to approve all four in one motion.
I'll make the motion to approve all four.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
I second it.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. I'll take votes for all 4 minutes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Galdia?
Yes.
Thank you. All 4 minutes have been approved. Next, we have our closed session. Ms. Gonzalez, can you please announce the items that are going to be discussed in closed session?
Okay, our item will be the conference with legal consultant and the litigation that was taking place with two matters, the public employee, one matter, and the reporting out of the closed session.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. So with that, our board will go ahead and go into closed session at this time. Everyone on the line, please remain in open session, and we will come back in when the board is ready to report out. Thank you. Our board meeting for Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. It is 7:18, and Ms. Gonzalez will report out on closed session.
Okay, at this time from closed session, there's nothing to report out.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. So with that, we did have one speaker card that we received. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Ms. Amelia Salcedo to give her public comment.
Hi, good evening, committee. I would like to know, when were our concerns be addressed from MSA 3?
Thank you. We will make sure to address your comment at a follow-up. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so we will continue with our consent items. So we have items under consent. We have item 3A, approval of 2020-2021 school calendars for MPS. It is a consent item, so it does not require a full discussion, but Mr. Yilmaz can briefly present the item. Our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening, board members and the public. This is David Zermatt, the Chief Accountability Officer. February is our typical month to prepare next year calendars, so we can attend. We work very closely with the school principals and deans in finalizing our calendar. For the LA calendar, we closely follow LAUSD's calendar, same start, same end dates. We don't have minor differences due to the teacher symposiums we hold, so those days cause a minor difference. Other than that, we kind of mimic their calendar. Mm-hmm. For Santa Ana and San Diego, we give them autonomy because they are in different districts. Their leadership teams met and decided that they really want to follow their own district's calendar closely, so it doesn't affect student enrollment and parent, you know, attendance. So Santa Ana school will be starting 1 week earlier than our LA schools. On the other hand, San Diego will start 2 weeks later after our history. But for most of the major events, 95%, they'll be closely following the LA school's calendar. So those were like thoroughly discussed with the C team, with the school principals, and then finalized like this.
Thank you, Mr.
Yilmaz.
Any questions?
I just came in right now. So last year, I guess we had an issue with MSA San Diego adopting MSA white calendar and that causing some sort of enrollment loss. Are we still with MSA San Diego? Are we still in this schedule or are they adopting a different one?
So for next year, they're adopting their local district calendar. So they're not really off. They tried following the LA calendar, and then it created a few problems in the community. So now they are switching to the.
Yeah, so this is Alfredo. Just to add to that, it's 17-18. They were off by 2 weeks. So that's where in 18-19 we saw a drop off. So then going into 19-20, they were 1 week separated from San Diego Unified. So obviously they expanded enrollment at the highest level. Now they're going to be starting at the same thing.
Yeah, that's I think.
So for the third year, they'll be changing it, but the team believes that they've now gotten it right, where it's going to be the same. So
great,
we'll see. Yeah.
So the breaks are the same. The only difference is Santa Ana wanted to have 3 week winter break. Their district is only 2 weeks, but the administration thought 3 weeks is better for the parents and stuff over there. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we feel confident and comfortable with the calendar.
Thank you, Ms. Yilmaz. So the next consent item was approved by the Ad Hoc Facility Committee. This is item 3B, approval of MSA 7 use of reserves for capital improvements. So again, the committee has already recommended their approval. Does the committee want to speak, or did you want Mr. Ontiveros to present briefly the item?
I would like to present.
Dr. Yapana, did you want to say something on this? For the record, Dr. Yapana and Dr. Dickbush joined during closed session. Dr. Yapana, did you want to report out as a committee member for the facilities, or did you want Patrick to go ahead and present?
Yeah, I think Patrick has much more information and is well equipped to inform the board, so I will let him do it, and then he can convey our recommendations to.
Can I ask a question? Maybe you can address my question while you're presenting as well. I remember that we had a grant for facilities in the past for this. Did those funds expire and we can no longer use those? Or
actually, I'll give you an update.
Okay.
The facilities update section, if that's okay.
Sure.
Can we have the mic here, so just speak up.
Hi, this is Patrick Ontiveros. The item is for authority to use MSA 7's long-term reserves to pay for certain capital improvement projects at the campus. These are, well, there are several of them. One of them is the one of the brick walls. It's basically on the verge of coming down. So obviously we need to get in there and do that work. There are in the basketball area, there's the asphalt is in really bad shape, so we want to be able to patch that up. Where the area where the sand used to be next to the fence, which we replaced with a rubberized surface. When that work was done, it exposed some of the retaining wall and kind of left, you know, not safe conditions. So that's another item that would get addressed. Let's see what else. Then just like some of the classrooms, they don't really have. There's a gap between the door and the ground, so it lends itself to obviously breezes getting in as well as vermin getting in. So we would be replacing that. So those are just kind of gives you an idea of the types of projects that we want to do there. We and I got Ms. Charlotte Brimmer helped me with this. We solicited bids from three smaller general contractors to do this work. Two of them provided bids. The third one ended up not providing a bid at the last minute. After reviewing the bid, we are recommending that we go with the bid for AG Construction, which was for $29,875. I'm asking in this recommendation, I'm asking for up to $35,000 just in the event that, you know, unforeseen conditions happen and, you know, some part of those improvements increase in cost. We'll obviously, we'll let you know if there's any increase from the original $29,875, but for now I'm asking for $35,000.
Any questions on this consent item?
So did we communicate this with the church, the landlord? And
yes, they know what's going on.
They're not going to provide us any TI or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
It's,
just checking.
Everything is pretty much on us except for the wall.
They're blessed.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. And just in closing, the school has substantial long-term reserves. $1,749,972. Assuming we spent the entire $35,000, the school would still be left with $1,714,972. Any questions?
Okay, so if we can, one of our board members can move to approve the consent item with both item 3A and 3B.
I make the motion to approve both consent items, A and B.
Thank you,
Mr.
Herzog.
No, second.
Thank you, Mr. Galdia. I'll take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
I'll do the last vote.
Mr. Herzog?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Galdia?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. So next we have our regular action items. Item 4A, approval of revised material revision for MSA 6 and MSA 4 charter merger. We have our CEO and superintendent, Mr. Rubalcaba, will present.
Good evening, board members. Alfredo Rubalcaba, superintendent of Magnolia Public Schools. As was the case at the December 15 board meeting, we did bring to you the resolution to merge MSA 4 into MSA 6 to make MSA 6 a 6-12 school, grade school. And with that, we made the recommendation, obviously, to submit a budget with that, and that was a budget of 400 students. But we also indicated that we were going to seek some guidance from our partners, LAUSD, which we did, after the board did approve the December 15th resolution of the merger. Did give specific to the merger, most prominently about the capacity of the school. Instead of 400, they as a team felt based on the data that we, once we merged the schools, we would have a total of 300 students. So we did discuss this and we did take their information to heart and we did make the change in the new merger of MSA 4 and 6, 6 through 12 model with the capacity being 300 instead of 400. And then also with that, LAUSD, through this process, gave us some other recommendations on what to include in the petition, the elements, and then other things specific to Prop 39. As you're aware, we are trying to obviously have a very strong school once we merge, which means we want to keep our kids at the Bombs Church site for MSA 6, and then MSA 4 students to stay here at Webster. So I'm working with the district to make that happen. So there's no obviously disruption to the educational program we're providing here in the West LA. So we bring this back to you for your approval. And I'm also working with LAUSD on obviously the sites and to make that possible, the MSA 6 merger, 6 through 12.
Any questions? Okay, I can read off the motion. So the motion is to approve the revised resolution that authorizes the following: mature revision from MSA 6 charter petition and closure of MSA 4 effective June 30th, 2020, and authorize the MPSCO and superintendent to take the necessary actions needed to complete the revision process. Can a board member make a motion?
Make that motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Rosa.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I will take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orozco?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Valdia?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries.
Just to point out that as a board, we've discussed this matter before times and times and there are other different meetings, various meetings. I mean, you know, just this is a modification to what we decided in the past. Right? So,
thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Next, we have item 4B, approval change order request by Oldman's Construction for MSA 1. So this did go to the facility committee. The votes were 2-1, 2 yes, 1 no. But the motion did carry and the committee recommended it. But we have Patrick Gontiveros here for that.
Hi, this is Patrick. But just by way of background, at the November 14th board meeting, the board granted and top committee the authority to approve change orders from Oldman's for the MSA 1 new construction project. We had in mid to review those change order requests. At that time, the committee deferred taking an action on it with the instruction that they wanted to hear from the general contractor as well as the design team about, you know, how these change orders ultimately came to be. I forget exactly when the date was, but February 4th. On February 4th, we had another meeting at which the construction team as well as the design team was present to discuss the change order requests, and specifically, we talked about why they came about. In brief, a lot of these change orders are the result of feedback that we received in the field from inspectors. Basically what ended up happening is plans were approved at the plan permitting stage. Then we went into construction with those plans, and when we were ready for certain inspections, the inspectors came out and decided that they didn't agree with the plan checker's interpretation of the code. So in certain circumstances, that entails a great deal of work to modify what had already been done. So that's, that's kind of a broad overview. And then there were some, and as a result, the contractor is asking for more money for their general conditions, which is their overhead, their staff overhead, any costs that they incur themselves, as far as, their superintendent, their project manager, all of those costs. So that was a good portion of it, again, due to the delay in achieving substantial completion. There was also some costs associated with the inspectors, for example, requiring us to have a fire watch, which basically means that you have a particular assigned person who basically walks around the building at specific intervals to make sure that there isn't a fire. And we had to do this basically around the clock for like 2 months while these changes that the inspectors wanted to be completed were completed. And the inspectors would not allow occupancy without that type of service in place. So we had to do that in order to get the kids in there as soon as possible. At the time, they were being housed at the temporary campus at Amigo, which we were incurring costs there. So ultimately, obviously we occupied, but maybe a couple months later than we originally expected. I don't want to place all of the blame on the inspectors. We also had a hard time with the utility companies. And just to give you an idea, we didn't get our gas meter installed until late December, which meant that we couldn't have our commissioning agent come out until, his next availability was at the end of January. And that's a component of getting your permanent certificate of occupancy. So he came out to the site, he reported to me that everything is fine, everything passed the test, and now he's generating a report that we will take to building and safety, and we expect at that time that we will get our permanent certificate of occupancy. So this, again, obviously this is additional money to pay these costs. I guess what I would say in that regard is we always carry a pretty healthy contingency, having learned lessons from past projects to make sure that we always budget it conservatively. So when the dust settles, I expect that we will have about $225,000 left in contingency after this, after all the current payment applications are paid out. So that's a broad overview. Obviously, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I'm wondering about the arguments why it was not, obviously we heard that it was not a unanimous decision to approve this item by the IHOC committee. If board members, or you can yourself provide the arguments behind not fully agreeing on this. And we obviously didn't have a chance to discuss it in detail, but
right.
If someone can summarize the reason behind not getting a full approval from the IHOC committee, that's so that we can hear those as well, that'd be great.
This is Patrick. I can address that, or I invite the other member of the facility committee.
It's Dr. Yapanel and Ms. Covarrubias. So we had two yes, which was Rabbi Belia voted yes, Dr. Yapanel voted yes, Ms. Covarrubias was a no.
Okay.
So Rabbi Belia is not on the phone, but we have the other two.
So, Ms. Covarrubias, Could you provide us something?
I said no because, like I mentioned to Patrick, we set up an ad hoc committee so that anything that needed to come, any change orders would come to them first before the board, or if they needed something to do right away, that was the committee for. And there was a lot of things that weren't being brought to us. And it took a couple of months. I don't have my binder, unfortunately, but I had. There's a lot of orders that we weren't informed of changes. And it's just that mistrust that I had, that having a committee set for that reason, they didn't, you know, follow up with that committee. So I felt uncomfortable approving that much money when, in part, we're at fault for not at least having us being, you know, having the items communicated to us somehow, even to Rabbi or committee or, you know. And that was the whole point of us, our facility issues, that things are done and then later, after everything's done, then we have to approve.
Anything we can do in order to not to allow that going forward? Can we have more communication between the ad hoc committee and the staff?
Yes, this is Patrick again. Board member Covadrubias' point is well taken. There are definitely change orders in this packet that could have been communicated earlier. They were being tracked on a time and material basis. So I didn't really have all the final costs until late in the project. Now that doesn't mean that I couldn't have said, hey guys, you know, I'm expecting a change order for this. I don't know the magnitude, but just so you know, it's coming. I don't want to catch you completely off guard. So I definitely could have done that going forward. That's obviously something that I will be very diligent about doing. So yeah, absolutely. We can definitely do a better job of that. A good deal of the change orders had to do with what I mentioned about the inspectors and the utilities, and really all of that kind of came to a head during the last, I would say, month of construction. You know, an inspector would say, okay, you have to not completely redo this, but you need to add something else to your mechanical system. And okay, I was basically operating on the principle that we need to get this campus open as soon as possible. There's no way around it. There's no way of saying, oh, well, we're not going to do it, inspector. Well, if we were to say that, or if we tried to go to that inspector's supervisor or that supervisor's supervisor, that would have significantly delayed us, and the end result would probably have been the same, which is those changes would have been required. So we thought the prudent approach was to move forward with the work. We really didn't get the final cost until work was completed. So that was kind of the conundrum we were in at that moment. But again, I could have certainly communicated that to the facility, the ad hoc facility committee, and said, hey, you know, I was at the site this morning. The inspector said we have to do X, Y, and Z. I don't know what the ultimate cost is going to be, but just heads up, this is coming down just so it doesn't catch you off guard. So I didn't do that. I apologize for that going forward. I've learned my lesson and will certainly make sure that I'm more diligent about that. I will...
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Uh-huh.
Yep.
I have a question regarding the total numbers. You know, You mentioned that we have more contingency left even after approval of this item. I was wondering if that would be enough to complete the project, if we're going to be within the budget at the end of it.
I expect that we're going to be within the budget, yeah.
So no anticipated change orders?
This is the final change orders. Right now, I'm in the process of going through all of my emails to make sure that I've captured any outstanding invoices. Right now, that's, I want to say they're maybe on the order of $20,000 outstanding invoices, but they were budgeted for. So
okay,
it's not
great.
Going
okay.
to affect okay. the bottom,
the bottom line. Number. Great.
Any other questions?
Did you make a note of, we asked you to break it down that day? Do you have that, those numbers with you?
You mean as far as what might have been like design?
Yeah, there was a question as to if you can break it down to as to
yeah.
where the expenses were. Do you have those notes on me?
I don't have that information yet. I haven't had a chance to break it down in that much detail yet.
And then how much is what we owe?
So with this change order, it's $176,614.06. We have two payment applications outstanding. One is the final payment application, I believe. No, November, December, I believe, and then the retainer. So when you add up all of those and you add up this, these change orders, you come to about $1.1 million.
That we still owe them.
That we still owe them.
But that is within this budget, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Is it broken down with that? Because I don't.
So it looks like what we're looking at here, the numbers are not fully expended yet.
That's correct.
What we are saying is correct.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
So I can provide you that detail by the next committee meeting or the next board meeting, or I can just send it to you as soon as I have it.
Yeah, next committee meeting, please.
Any other comments or questions on this item? Okay, so I'll go ahead and read out the motion. The motion is to approve change order request 37-54 up to $176,614.96 as presented by Oatlands Construction for the new construction project for the benefit of MSC 1 at 18220 Sherman Way, with the payment amount to be confirmed by MPS staff based on a review of all change order requests and backup. Would someone like to move?
Mr. Yapanel? You're on mute?
Yes, I was on mute. I actually wanted to also quickly summarize why I vote yes. We had a lot of meetings and we had people in the room in those meetings try to find who is responsible. And it looks like that they're really, so when the inspectors come back with more changes after things have been approved, there was actually a route to go to their supervisors to reverse them, but this is something we didn't follow. I think because of the time limitations, although it's a bit disturbing that we didn't do it, I think staff made the decision to be able to finish this project on time to go with the change orders, trying to satisfy the inspectors, quickly changing recommendations. And I really didn't see any other route basically other than approving it so that we could open the school. But I concur with the concerns of Sandra as well. But we have to move forward. So I'm making the motion to approve as presented.
Thank you, Dr. Yapina. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Ms. Orozov. I'll go ahead and take votes. Mr. Galdia?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orozov?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
No.
Dr. Yapina?
Yes.
Dr. Dikpash?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. We have one no and six yes. Sorry, five yes. Rabbi Doliak is absent. Okay, thank you. The motion carries. Next, we have 4C, approval of additional extension for independent contractor and Alpine Enterprises. And we have, again, Mr. Romero will present.
Hi, this is Patrick. I am requesting to extend Ms. Charlotte Bremer's contract to assist on various facilities projects. We've actually completed the work that needs to be done at the San Diego facility as far as the principal things that had been left over were ADA fixes. So we did complete that work. So the next step is to get all of the paperwork processed with the state to close out the project, as well as have the inspector of record sign off on everything. So I know Charlotte's been talking to the architect of record as well as the inspector of record. I think she has some good momentum there. I'd like for her to wrap that up for me, just so that we can get that behind us. I think she did a good job of jumping in and kind of carrying the ball on that, which I greatly appreciate. She's also been helping with actually this kind of goes to the question that was posed earlier about the use of the state funds at MSA 7. These were the charter school facility incentive grant funds. We did actually end up using all of the funds, and we submitted for reimbursement to the California School Finance Authority. They came back with some questions about the payroll because it had to be prevailing wage. So there were two contractors that worked on these final projects at the school. One was just kind of campus-wide projects, including the creation of a new restroom and the renovation of the other restrooms on the campus. So that one has been resolved. CSFA came back and said, okay, you're good. We understand what you submitted to us. It's fine. We will reimburse you 100%. The one that's still outstanding is for the play surface. So there's been some back and forth communication between the CSFA representative and Ms. Bremer. And so that still needs to be resolved. I think we're close to it, but I want to make sure that I still have access to her in order, in case this happens to spill out further. So let's see what else. And then the other project I have in mind for her to help with, or at least get started, is the street improvements that we want to do at Santa Ana, which is basically signage, school zone signs and things of that nature in front of the school. That's something that the city does, and I think Ms. Bremer is very good at talking to city personnel and kind of understanding what they need or how to get them to approve these things. So I think she would be extremely helpful in that regard in terms of at least getting that off the ground. I don't know if she'll have enough time to complete that, but it would certainly be extremely helpful for all of us if she could help with that. So those are the kinds of projects that I would like her to continue on and hopefully complete during that last month of her contract if it's extended.
See, I just wanted to ask a question about the budget, but I want to ask a question about your last sentence. You said you're not sure if she will have enough time to complete the project.
Yeah.
My question would be about the scope of work. Don't the contract doesn't the contract include already what needs to be done in order for her to earn this money?
Well, I mean, it's the way it's worded is to assist the facilities department to close out the MSA San Diego project. So she's been diligent about doing that, but certain things are beyond her control. Like we can submit all the paperwork to DSA, which, you know, I think she's perfectly capable of doing, but to me, it wouldn't be closed out until we get that magic letter from DSA that says, hey, your project is closed out. So there may be follow-up to it. I don't know. I'm hoping there isn't. At MSA Santa Ana, the construction of the gym, when that closed out, that went fairly smoothly. There wasn't I don't recall any communications from the Division of State Architects, so I'm hoping that that will be the case here as well. But I think once you submit that paperwork, it's a kind of a coin toss as to how quickly you'll get a response back from them. So that's what I mean.
Okay. The amount mentioned here is $6,000. Is it? Do we have room in the budget? The facility department budget for that?
Yes, okay. We'll have to make some budget transfers, but
cut some expenses.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think it's worth it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay, so the motion is to approve an amendment to the independent contractor agreement by and between MPS and Northland Enterprises for one more month, commencing February 24th, 2020, and expiring on March 23rd, 2020, according to the term conditions set forth in this report and any attached exhibit. Do we have someone who would like to move?
I will make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Galdia.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Colarubia. So I'll take votes. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Dr. Abanel?
Yes.
Rebecca, yes?
Yes.
Second.
Second.
Second, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Galdia?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Urzov?
Yes.
Ms. Colarubia?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. Last action item is approval of MSA San Diego special education position. We have Mr. Sears, our principal from that side on the line. Mr. Sears?
Good evening, board members and public. This is Principal Sears from MSA San Diego. The item in front of you is an action item to help us hire to approve so that we can get a paraprofessional for our school to support one of our students. Currently, almost 18% of our students are students with disabilities. To support our students with disabilities, so their individualized educational program, and based on the students' needs, we identify services to make sure that students actually show their full potential. And every school year, either based on need or at least once a year, we do have annual IEP meetings for the students. IEP again stands for Individualized Educational Program. And during those meetings, we have the parent, administrator, general education teachers, and any professionals who support students, from school psychologists to speech therapists, and it can be all different professionals supporting the student. And in a recent IEP meeting, we, as the IEP team, decided that student would benefit from having a support staff with the student throughout the day to help with both academic and behavior support so that student can be successful and be ready for high school. But unfortunately, this is not a position that was budgeted, and neither we had the money in our budget. So we would like our board to approve the hiring of one professional using the home office management fee reduction in the amount of $22,000. And this $22,000 includes the this bills, all the benefits and everything that comes with the position.
And any questions?
I'm here to answer them.
Okay, no questions. So the motion is to approve the hiring of one paraprofessional using reserves for MSA San Diego.
There's a typo there. It's not using
reserves. That changed.
Using the home office, the money that will come through reduction of the home office fees for Magnolia's MSA San Diego.
Yep.
Sorry, give me one second to fix the motion.
So basically we can say from operating budget, but the operating budget will be reduced by, the same amount for the CMO fees.
Okay, so the motion is to approve the hiring of one paraprofessional using current operational budget.
Can
someone make that motion?
Just a second.
Motion.
I think we can.
I move the motion.
Ms. Kavarubi, she has a question. I think that we approved the agenda, but right now we're modifying what we're approving.
The minutes will reflect the new.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't have any problem with that.
Right.
So Dr. Dekwash, make the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Galdia. I'll take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orozov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Galdia?
Yes.
Dr. Dekwash?
Yes.
Dr. Yamana?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carried. That is the end of our action items. We have two brief discussions and information items. First one is by Mr. Yilman.
I am dropping off. I would like to thank all the board members, and I look forward to seeing you in March.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Thank you.
We continue with our time here on site. Thank you, Dr.
Abadan.
So again, this is a verbal update on
IRP
process for student information system by Mr.
Yilman. All right, good evening. It's David Yilman again, Chief Accounting Officer. Very quick update. As you know, we are conducting an RFP for our next school information system. We had updated you at a prior meeting. We received 6 bids, and we invited 4 of those to present to a committee consisting of, principals, deans, office managers, home office team members, and others. And then we kind of internally reduced it to 2 vendors, and now we're probing further into it. To give you names, we had 4 big SAS companies present to us. 3 of them are nationwide leaders: Infinite Campus, Synergy, and Power School. And then we also invited the California leader Aries. So they all presented. Now we scheduled further meetings to go over compliance state reporting items. After those, we still have some questions for them. We'll have another section. All of those, finalists, I should say, meet our requirements, like with the apps, discipline module, teacher, interface, all of those, much, much stronger than what we currently use. So our team is very happy. Whichever one we end up with, it's a very strong program. So I'm not sure which board meeting we are going to bring it to you, because March is, only like 2-3 weeks, right? So we may bring it back to you in April for approval. So we have one more, one whole year for transition.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. So our last item tonight is our facilities update by Mr. Antiveros.
Hi, this is Patrick. So I will go school by school. MSA 1, I spoke about it earlier, but basically we're at the stage where we need to close out all the payments and obtain our permanent certificate of occupancy. I had mentioned previously that the city is interested in purchasing a strip of land from us, the parking lot that we just did, because of the ice rink that they're going to be building there. So I've solicited a proposal from an architect to do a study of what that looks like as far as the number of spaces we would lose and how much we would need the city to give us, because they're also one of the things I talked about with the council office was we would want to have a collaborative relationship with them. So we, for example, we'd like to have exclusive use of the ice skating rink during school hours, perhaps, and then certainly have access to their parking, since we would be losing parking if we were to move forward with the sale of this strip of land. So that's something that we're looking at. I've also solicited appraisals so that we know what we could expect as far as a sales price. So that's kind of where things stand there. They've actually been very, the city's interested in moving forward fairly quickly on this. And I just told them, you know, we have to go through our processes here as far as doing our due diligence, making sure that it's a good deal for us and the board approves it. So, let's see. I'll move on. We completed our Prop 39 energy projects at MSA 1. Let's see. MSA 2, we have previously talked about certain improvements that the school wanted to make at their campus. I think at this stage we're holding back on that for a while. I think at least until the school is the charter is approved. Let's see, as far as the Prop 39 projects are concerned, I had previously mentioned that the LED lighting project had not been installed according to the school district standards. Our project manager, which is First Note Finance, and LAUSD were able to negotiate something so that the contractor, called Regreen, could come back and install a different product. It's not the original product that LAUSD had approved, but it's still on their approved list. So it's, the problem is going to get resolved. The HVAC project is moving forward. Right now we're at a point where we have a structural engineer preparing some drawings that will then be reviewed by the district and hopefully approved, and then we could move forward with the installation of those units. So that's MSA 2. MSA 3, actually MSA 3, MSA 4, and MSA 5, it was earlier mentioned that we had received our Prop 39 offers. Obviously, we're looking at that, and I believe Alfredo will be going to the district tomorrow to discuss, possibly sign alternative agreements with them. So that is moving forward. Let's see. MSA. Some of the Prop 39 projects have been completed. Others have not, principally because of LAUSD requirements. And in certain instances, some of those requirements are so, I don't know if onerous is the right word, but restrictive, that the cost would exceed the amount of money that we receive from the state in order to do those projects. So some of those projects may not get done, but we will complete the ones that we can before the June 30th deadline. Let's see. I don't have, really have any updates on MSA 6. MSA 7, I think we talked about the charter school facility that's had grant money and the work that we propose to do going forward. At MSA 8, our LED lighting project was completed. San Diego, I mentioned that the DSA fixes have been completed. In addition, we fixed some roof leaks, and we're going to be paying for it out of the San Diego Repair and Replacement Fund. We got permission to do so from Hamlin, who's the bondholder. And as far as closing it out, we need to get inspector of record sign off and fill out any final paperwork that needs to get submitted to DSA. Moving on to MSA Santa Ana, I met with Principal Keskinter to discuss some of the issues that he had on his to-do list, as well as what I had previously identified with the previous principal. So the water leaks in the gym have been addressed, but the drainage on the site still remains an issue. So I did have a civil engineer take a look at the problem. He recommended getting a topographic survey so he can know the different levels of the grades of the surface there, so he could recommend some kind of solution. So I'll be expecting some kind of proposal from him. We're looking at the various maintenance agreements that we should have in place, for example, for the HVAC system, things of that nature, so that we act in a proactive approach as opposed to just fixing things when they break down. So that is in process as well. And finally, I talked about the traffic signage for the school. We will be moving forward with getting that installed. And obviously, we'll need to have conversations with the city on that. So that's my facilities update. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Do we have any inspection to see if we have any mold from the water leak?
We haven't had any inspections as of late. I told the principal we should keep an eye on that. Right now, we are basically, we feel comfortable with where it is right now, but we will certainly keep an eye on that. If anybody reports anything, any kind of suspicious smell or any kind of anything that looks visibly like mold, we will certainly go back in there, test, and address it. My hope is that the we did have somebody who went out there and did some patches where we thought the water was coming in. So my hope is that that addressed the problem, but it's something that we'll have to keep our eyes on going forward.
So when they did the patching, they didn't see any signs of mold?
That's correct. Any other questions?
All right. Okay, that is the end of our meeting. Ms. Gonzalez, can you adjourn 8:13?
Okay. At this point, since we have no additional business to attend to, I would like to close our meeting at 8:13 p.m.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Thank you.